Well, good morning. How is everyone? Those that are in the foyer, begin making your way in. What a great, beautiful day and weekend to be in the house of God. Not a better place that you can be this morning. Good stuff going on. Ezekiel is a prophet. He heard from God, and God told him to tell the Israelites. Said, this is chapter 36, verse 26, it says, "And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Our theme for this year is love. And how is love going to expand and grow? And what Ezekiel shared with the Israelites, how much more when Christ died on the cross for us, did he expand that? So I encourage you this morning to just stand and let's worship our Almighty God.
Anticipation, promise to come. Everything that you've spoken will come to pass. Let it be done. Every dream, every word, every promise, we receive your gift. Mighty breath of God, move upon this place and blow. Mighty breath of God, move in power. Streams of mercy flowing down, light of heaven all around, falling to the mighty breath of God, move upon this place and blow. Mighty breath of God, Spirit, fire, fan the flame. Passion for your holy name. Burning everything. So blow, mighty breath of God, move upon this place and blow, mighty breath of God. In power and grace.
My mom shared a story last night that I'd never heard before, never heard her share, and I hope she's okay with me sharing. But her home life growing up was a little tumultuous, and she can remember it was a church or somewhere she went to, and she placed her hand, just a little girl. And all she would do is just pray, God, let me graduate from high school and let me go to heaven. And that just became a continual prayer for her. And she heard God as a little girl say to her, I got you. And she said, I've seen Jesus throughout my whole entire life. God allowed her to see Jesus throughout her whole life, and God has done exceedingly, abundantly more than she asked or could think. So what I want to say to you this morning, there has never been a moment in your life that Christ has not been with you. There's never been something that you have experienced, no matter how hard or how difficult, that Jesus has not been there saying, I got you. And not only do I got you, I love you. You belong to me. And I am going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you can ask or think. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, God. They cannot be numbered. I don't know what you believe about you, but let me tell you what God believes about you. God believes and knows that you are who he says you are. That you are, there is nothing that you have ever experienced, nothing that you have ever done that can pluck you out of his hand. There is nothing that you have ever been through that says that you are not his, that you are not worthy, that you are not valued. There is nothing that you are going through in the past, present, or future where God's not going to say to you, I got you. And you are loved. You were like, there is one thing we want you to know in this body is that you are loved and you belong to him and you are worthy and you are valued. His thoughts about you cannot be numbered. And let me tell you, those thoughts are good thoughts. They are good thoughts. My eyes on you. Fix your eyes on his truth. Striving seas, as you are singing over me.
Amen. What a great God. Thank you, Father. You are who God says you are. You are you. You be you. I didn't have a plan for this. I got a hat on for the first time ever in all these years. And I always want to wear a hat. And my wife says, no, it's disrespectful. Church can't wear a hat. But I gave my testimony a few weeks back, and I grew up Southern Baptist, and I surely didn't wear a hat back then. And I learned more and more from people like David, who just says, be you, Brandon. Be you.
Yeah. Yes.
My message to you today is be who you are. God called you to be who you are,
yes.
So be it.
Yeah.
Be it.
Yes.
We're surrounded by His love and mercy all day, no matter what. No matter
yep.
what you're doing,
yep.
just be you.
Yes.
We are no longer slaves
yes.
to anything in the
yes.
past that somebody decided,
yes.
oh, no, that's not right. Now, of course, some things, but listen, you be
right.
you, okay?
Right.
You be you. I'm going to be Brandon. I'm going to be Brandon. And I love you. He loves you.
Yeah.
We're singing an old one, and it's a great one.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do right now is be you and thank
yeah.
Him for being
yes.
who you are.
Woo!
Amen. Will you unravel me? with a melody. Will you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone? Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Well, I am a child of God. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Well, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, love has called my name. But I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Yes.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Child of God. Well, I'm no of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yeah, I am a child of God. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that we are a child
yes.
of you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
that we no longer have to fear, Father. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for
yes.
your mercy. Thank you for
Jesus.
Your love, Father.
Thank
we
you.
Give you praise this morning.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name.
We talked last week briefly about that the church is a mystery. This is a mystery we're in. Now, it's not a mystery that can't be figured out, but it is a mystery that has to be figured out. I want you to get that. I want you to hear that. It's not a mystery that can't be figured out, but it is a mystery that has to be figured out. I've been figuring this thing out for a long, long time. And just when I thought I got it figured out, guess what? As an old song says, every time I mark the walls, I make a mark on the wall, somebody comes along and paints it. Every time I make a mark in life, it seems like something comes along. And I believe that we are predestined to be changing. And so I said, well, what is Calvinism? He says, well, he says, I grew up very legalistic and I grew up with Calvinism. And Calvinism is simply this, that God has predestined certain people to be saved. And you're either predestined to be saved or you're not. You're predestined to be saved or go to hell. You're predestined before you're born to be saved. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, I remember that. I've been in conversations with that a long, long time with different people. So I said, now let me tell you what you are predestined for. You are predestined, Paul said in Romans 8, you have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That is what you're predestined for, to be conformed to the image of his son, to be like him. Those he called, he said he justified. Those he justified, he said he glorified. And what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not by him freely give us all things? Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ who died, yea, rather that's risen from the dead? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Just to know. How many know God still speaks? Yes, this is his word. This is the Logos. This is a written word of God. But God still speaks. God still speaks. God still, how many know that God didn't stop talking when the scriptures got recorded? He still talks. He still speaks. We just have to hear. Jesus said several times in scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is always talking. Always speaking. We just have to be listening. We just have to be listening. Now, I want you to just listen, okay? Will you do that right now? Would you listen? Silence is golden sometimes. Have I got your attention? Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Wow, what an invitation, huh? I don't know. I've gotten that invitation just a few times in life. Come on, it's all free. And when I got that invitation, I went. It's all free. Come on, food, wine, milk. Come on, it's all free. I mean, everybody wants something free. Everybody, you know how much money I saved on this? Anybody ever said that? You know how much, Chris, you know how much money I saved? Chris hadn't figured that one out yet. How'd you save us money? It looks like to me money came out, but you saved us money. Anyway, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me. Say, listen to me. And you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. How many know there's a food that's better than food? There's a food that's better than steak. There's a food that's better than lobster. There's a food that's better than crab legs. There's a food that's better than anything you've ever eaten in your life. It's God's word. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you'll find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know. The peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Wow. If he made that, I've read the story of Israel many times. I haven't seen that glorious yet. But he still said, I've made you glorious. How many know God sees not as we see? Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways. Banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain, the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer, bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. It will accomplish what I send it out to do. My word will produce in your life such fruit. My word will produce in you far more than anything you could think or imagine. I said last week, had you walked up to Mary 1 hour, 30 minutes, 15 minutes before Gabriel appeared to her and said, Mary, you're going to have the Son of the Living God. It would have been more than she could imagine. If you'd have said to Peter, when he tells Jesus, I'll die for you. Lord, I'll do whatever I need to do. I will die for you. And Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crows, before morning comes, you are going to deny me 3 times. You're going to deny me. Not so, not me, Lord. He didn't just deny him. He cursed and denied him. That should give a lot of us hope. That should give a lot of us hope. But Jesus came out of the tomb and he said, go tell my disciples I've risen. And while you're at it, tell Peter. Yeah. Call Peter out. Let Peter know I love him. Let Peter know I hadn't denied him. Yeah. You may deny me, but I can't deny you. Right. See, Jesus said, you may deny me, but I can't deny who I am. Now, when I was young, I had a lot of mentors, and I wanted to be like them. I did. I wanted to be just like them. I wanted to be just like them. And that's not who Jesus wanted me to be like. That's not who God wanted me to be. One of my favorite preachers was Paul Walker. I wanted to be Paul Walker. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and he that dwells therein. Be founded upon the seas, established upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, neither hath he sworn deceitfully. Oh, I want to be Paul Walker. I went to bed at night listening to Paul Walker. Barbara had to listen to Paul Walker preach every night. As I lay in bed, we listened to Paul Walker preach, didn't we, Barbara? And Barbara, she would tell me from time to time, you're not Paul Walker. You are Buren. Be Buren. No, I won't be Paul Walker. Then I wanted to be Dave Hunt. School, suave, Dave. I mean, no, I thought I wanted to walk like him. I wanted to dress like him. He gave me a suit one time that he used to wear that he outgrew, and when I put it on, I thought, I know I look like him now. Now I know I can preach like him now. I even got his suit on. God didn't want me to be Dave Hunt. God didn't want me to be Charles Simpson. God didn't want me to be Kelly Varner. God wanted me to be me. And God didn't want you to be anybody else but you. You're so right. He doesn't want you to be anybody else but you. But he wants you to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, people ask me, what am I to do? Let me tell you what you're to do, okay? You ready? This is deep. Nothing. He wants you to be. Out of your being, automatically will come your doing. You won't have to wonder what you're here on earth to do if you will be who he's called you to be. Out of that being is going to come the doing. You see, I've known Will since he was a teenager. He came to this church. How old were you, Will, when you came? 19. And I've watched him grow and mature, change. And what he's doing now is not what he knew he would be doing at 19 years old. But as he became who he is, his doing now has come out of his being who he is. If you'll focus on your being, Jesus told his disciples, go into Jerusalem and wait until the power comes upon you to be, not to do, to be witnesses. And when that power comes upon you, out of that will flow all of your doing. All of your doing. See, what Dusty's doing now is come out of her being that from a child she's known the scriptures. From a child she has been obedient to her mom and dad. From a child she has been a wonderful daughter. And she has matured and she has grown into that being. And she left and went to Oklahoma City, and we're at the airport on a Sunday morning, and this guy shows up with a King Air plane and takes my daughter and my little baby, John Henry, and puts them on that airplane and takes off to Oklahoma City. Barbara couldn't come to church. She went home. I came to church, and somebody asked me, said, where's Barbara? I said, she's home in a fetal position. I said, she's home in a fetal position on the floor. And she said, you left her there? I said, well, nothing I could do. They left and went and got in a fetal position with her and just cried. But in that 7 years of Oklahoma City, she grew up. She became a real woman of God. And now out of her being comes her doing. If you focus on your being, the doing will follow. If I focus on hearing God, and you've got to be quiet and listen to hear God. Elijah saw a lot of things going off, and the Bible says God was not in any of that. But he came in a still, small voice. That's how God talks. He's not loud and boisterous. You've got to really listen. Because he talks real slow, real low. You've got to get everything else out to hear you're God. When God finally said, Viren, you're not Paul Walker. You're not Kelly Varner. You're Viren Goss. That's who I want you to be. I would have never imagined at 30 years of age what I would be at 68. Come Wednesday, if y'all need to know. I would have not imagined at 30 I would be who I am today. I would not imagine it. I couldn't imagine it. But he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can even ask or imagine. He wants to go beyond our imagination, but you've got to use your imagination for him to go beyond your imagination. You've got to use it for him to go beyond your imagination. Beyond it. I couldn't imagine it. Joy's not doing today what he's doing out of what he's done. He's doing it out of his being. He has become this, and therefore out of him now is what his doing is all about, because the being is being established. And when you hear God, then you got to believe God. Why? How many, let me tell you why it's important to hear God. Because when you hear God, then you start believing. How many have told your kids over and over and over and over again the same thing? And in the cycle of their becoming who they are, what do you keep doing? You keep talking. You keep saying to them. And as you do, hopefully sometimes, they believe. Now, they don't always, the cycle gets just going sometimes. They hear, they, nah, ding. They don't obey. And every now and then the jackpot goes off. Oh, yeah, now I believe, Mom, my Dad, I see it now. I mean, isn't that a wonderful thing when they finally say, I see. Wow, really? Oh, well, how much God must be when you go, oh, yeah, I got it. You see, because when you hear it and you got to believe it, but the thing about believing it is before you believe it, you can't see it. Because seeing spiritually is not believing. Believing is seeing. I don't believe he's resurrected. Thomas said, I won't believe it until I touch his. I won't believe it till I see it. And Jesus says, Thomas, here, put your fingers into my side. Put your fingers into my nail print hands. And then he says to Thomas, Thomas, you had to see to believe, but blessed are those. He looked down the corridors of time. Oh, he looked down the corridors of time. And he looked at every church, every denomination, every person on this planet and says, but blessed are all of these who have never seen yet believe. I don't know about you. I've never seen him. Only in you. And so now, what he wants out of his one son to bring many sons unto glory, and what he wants out of this son is that he's got these millions and millions and millions of little Christ running around. And all of them are different. They're all different. And that's what he wants. I have never met anybody like David Campbell. Never. Never. And I'm glad. Because he's uniquely David Campbell. Jet turned 9 this week. And at school, there was this teenager, turned 15. And he wanted to go to Jet's class to celebrate his birthday with Jet, a high schooler. Wants to go to Jet's class and celebrate with him. And thus he was said to Anna, said, why would a high schooler want to go and celebrate with Jet? And Anna said, Mom, you don't understand. Everybody loves Jet. Jet is the mascot of the school. Because he is uniquely him. And I don't want that to change. Because and what we want to do is just be Jet. Be you. Be you. Be you. Because out of that, God's going to do the unimaginable in your life. Unimaginable. You can't imagine what God's going to do in your life because you come to this revelation. Be you. Be you. I wish, how old are you? You had to think. 36. I wish out of 36 I had known what you know. Oh, I wish I could have grasped that and said, I'm going to be me. Don't take that for granted. That's everything. Be you. Be you. Don't be anybody else, Will. You be you. And by being you, everything that God has for you, all the good stuff that's going to flow out of that, is going to be out of your being, not your doing. You're a doer, but it's got to be out of your being. Who you are is what's going to flow out of that. Mike Crowder, you are learning to who you are. And God just wants you to know your being is going to so establish some things for the rest of your life. You're going to be more content, more happy, more fulfilled than you've ever been in your life because you heard God say to you weeks ago, a couple of months ago, whenever it was, go there. You heard God speak, didn't you? Go there. And when you hear God and you believe God, then you got to obey God. See, it wouldn't have been no good to hear it, Mike, had you not obeyed it. You believed it was God. You obeyed the word. Now out of that, you become a giver. I'm going to quickly give you 7 visions that you have to have. I got these from Charles Simpson 20 years ago. I've never taught it. It's been a mantra of my life that I've used to guide my life with these 7 visions. And you've got to have them. If you can't write them down right now, I think really you'll be able to remember it. I really do. If you'll listen closely, you'll be able to remember it. The first vision you've got to have is a heavenly vision. Can't come from anybody else. It's got to come from above. Say heavenly vision. Paul said, when I got this vision, I did not confer with flesh and blood. It was a heavenly vision. I went off to Arabia for 3.5 years. Me and Jesus talked. And he got the revelation of who Jesus is. He got a heavenly vision. There will be people who will try to give you their vision for you. But you got to hear God for you. You got to hear God for you. You got to hear God for you. It's got to come from above. Got to hear it from above. It's a heavenly vision. It's a personal vision I got to have. I got to have a personal vision for my life. What does it mean to me to be me? What is my personal vision? To be conformed to the image of his son so that in that conforming, my doing will flow out of that. But it'll flow out of my being. My being. I got to have a vision for my family. Say my family. I read a few weeks ago and this family, couple, wanted a child. She got pregnant, and it was years ago, and it was before they had sonograms to know if it was a girl or a boy. Y'all don't remember those times, do you? We didn't know. The doctor told me Dusty is a boy. Guaranteed me is a boy. So I named him Dustin Buren. And I'm at the waiting room, comes out. Doctor comes walking out and says, "You got a girl." I wanted to slap him. You promised me a boy this whole time. And he says, "She weighs 8 pounds and 13 ounces. I said, "Well, at least she's a big one." So I go in the room to the doctor and I said, "Barbara," that's the wife's name. I said, "Barbara, we don't have a girl's name. What are we going to name her?" I said, "We just said Dusty." And she's hated us ever since. Couldn't you think of something else? This is Dusty. You know what it's going to be said to me? You're Dusty. Anyway, this couple prayed over that baby, and they picked out two names. I'm just going to make them up. Picked out John because I like John. That's a good name. And Dusty. In case it's a boy or a girl, they prayed over John and Dusty every day. They prayed over that family. John was born. But when John turned mid-20s, he met a girl in California, thousands of miles away, named Dusty. And they got married. That's a vision for your family. Have a vision for your family. Have a vision for your family. My batteries must be giving out of juice. This happens sometimes. Have a vision for your church. Say church. Have a vision for your church. You're here not because you just chose it. I don't believe that. I don't believe you're here because you chose it. I believe you're here because God chose you to be here, John. God chose you to be here. God chose you to be here. It's not just I wake up one day and decide. I believe he places us in families. It just as sure as I believe that Edward Goss and Callie Goss was predestined by God to give me birth and be my mother and father, I believe that he places you in a spiritual family. Have a vision for that. Don't take it for granted. Because like I said for the last couple of weeks, someone said to me one time, "I don't need church." I never looked at it that way. The church needs me. I don't mean that. The church needs you. As much as he needs me, the church needs me, needs you. Nobody here is more important than anybody else. You're just as important, Tammy, as anybody in this building. You're just as important to the body of Christ. Your measure of grace, your measure of faith, your measure of spirit is just as important in this house as anybody's here. Anyone's. God's placed you here. Have a vision for your church. Have a vision for your nation. God, give us a vision for our nation. A godly vision for our nation. God, bring us together. God, bring unity. I'm so tired of it. You know God is. God, bring unity to this nation. Speak it. Believe it. Pray it. Speak it, believe it, pray it. Don't give up on your nation. Have a vision for your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Whoever's hurting. Whoever you run into. Could be in the supermarket. Could be at work. Could be down. Could be across the street. See, we think our neighbor lives across the street. Your neighbor lives across the world. Whomever you come in contact with, who's hurting, is your neighbor. Jesus said, They said, who's my neighbor? And he told the story. He said, the person who's hurting and you help them is your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Have a vision for the world. Have a global vision for the world. And I want you to come to the keyboard, just you right now. And millions and millions of believers across the world. I read this week, David, you mentioned something the other Wednesday night, and that there's more believers in China than are in the United States. Hard to believe in. You see, I have fallen in love with my faith, my Christian faith. This is what I embrace. I embrace it with every fiber of my being. I believe in it with every fiber of my being. I embrace it totally. I can accept anything else out there, but I won't embrace it. I'm not going to condemn anybody else, but I'm going to embrace this with every fiber of my being because I believe in it so much. But I have a world global vision. And I've been in places. I've seen it. In India and in Haiti. Across the world. Don't ever give up on this world. Because God hadn't given up on this world. It's all kind of beliefs. And what I want to get across to you today is the main thing I want you to believe. I want you to believe with all your heart. To be conformed to His image. That's your vision above all visions. To be like Him. And then out of that, everything that's good will come out of that. Be. I'm going to ordain some deacons in a moment. Before I do, I went to my office this morning. I thought I was getting something out for the deacons. But this ain't for the deacons. This is for everybody here. I love you. I'm going to read you a prayer of the Book of Common, the prayer book. Can I get Episcopalian on you this morning? All right. All right, I see that hand. Get a little Episcopalian on you. What I love about the Book of Common Prayer, when I got into it years ago, I was told, if you're not going to do it all, don't do it. And I read the first part of the Book of Common Prayer, and it says, you can use this book in its entirety, or you can use some of it. Right, Doug? Aren't you Episcopalian? I saw you nodding your head. That's good to be Episcopalian. Listen to this prayer. Are you ready? Oh God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church. That wonderful sacred mystery, by the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which are grown old are being made new, and all things are being brought to their perfection. Gracious. God, that's an Episcopalian, man. Wow. But, by Him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Come on. Don't you love the church? The whole church? Yes. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Eagleweans. Don't you love them all? You better. You better. You've heard the old jokes about heaven, haven't you? Who's on the other side of that wall? Lots of Baptists. They ain't the only ones here. You know, you've heard all that stuff. You know, we're going to live together forever. Yeah. We're all going to be in the same church one day. And matter of fact, we all still are.
Yes, we are now.
Yeah. I was about to go crazy there for a moment. I was about to lose my spiritual sense of unity. Amen. Amen? Let's stand together. Oh, I love the church. I love it. I love it. I love it. Carson, come down right quick. Carson Bliss. And after I bless this young man, I want those that I've asked to be deacons to be coming down. But I want you to see this young man here. Last Sunday afternoon, he got his Eagle Scout badge. Yeah, that's awesome. I wasn't even a Cub Scout, much less a Boy Scout. But I always loved this guy. He's been here since he's a little fellow. And years ago, he's an entrepreneur. He's just a worker. He's a doer, but it's coming out of his being. But I was in the foyer several years ago, and at Christmas, we'd given out all the grown-ups, men and women, this really nice gift from Bath and Water. Bath and what? Bath and Body Works. Yeah. So, you know, they were walking out with their really nice gift, and I gave all the little kids a little bit of candy cane like this. Carson walks up to me. He said, "For real?" just like that. He just shaking it in my face. For real? They get this nice gift, and we get this? I told him, I said, "Next year, I promise I'll do better." Love you. Love you. Thank you for doing what you do, because it's coming out of your being. Love you, buddy. Love you. As the deacons be coming down and just stand across the front here, we haven't had a deacon ministry in a long, long time. And it was something that God laid on my heart toward the end of the year. So I'm going to do something, and then I'm going to ask Keith. He's going to come, and he's going to pray over you. But I want to say thank you, Jerry Leonard, for all the years. It's not you were a deacon years and years ago. And a deacon is a servant, a special servant in the house of the Lord. A special servant, not just a servant, but a special servant. And you've always been a special servant. And I thank you for your servanthood over the years. Mark and Kelly. I know, Kelly, you're a little hesitant, but you're here. And I thank you, Mark and Kelly, for there's so much in you, Kelly, that you just don't know yet. So much is going to come forth from you. Walking down here this morning is more than deaconess. It is beingness. What is going to happen to you out of being obedient to walk down this aisle is beyond your imagination. Beyond your imagination. And it's going to be such a powerful thing that flows through the both of you. You know how much I love you. You know what you've meant to me over the years. I already talked to you. Years and years and years since a little girl, church has been everything. You've seen the ups of it. You've seen the downs of it. You've seen the ends of it. You've seen the outs of it. You've seen the pain of it. You've seen the hurt of it. You've seen the difficult of it. But beyond all that, you've seen the glory of it. And that's what you see so often, is the glory of the church. And from this day, you're going to see much more. You're gonna see what you've wanted to see for a long, long time. And it's gonna be beyond what you can imagine that you're gonna see. But you're gonna see it. You've longed for it, you've believed for it, we've lost some hope for it in the past, and it comes back, it comes forth, and it comes and it goes. But it's not going this time. It's going to build and build and build and build and build. Presence is what changes lives. When you walk in a room, people will light up because of the servanthood that comes, just flows out of you, and you don't even know it because that's just who you are. It's just out of the being of who you are. And with every ordination and everything, that when these things happen, something happens inside you that rises up beyond anything that you could imagine. And what God has for the two of you, this is only an initial step into a ministry that's going to flow out of you. And this will be the launching. Today is the stabilizing day of your life. Stabilizing day. No more wonder who I am. I know who I am. And this, out of the stability in that foundation, is going to flow some unbelievable things. Unbelievable things. What can I say about my friend, about my son? He's looked to me as his father, in the natural and the spiritual, who've served me for countless years, who's carried my Bible, who's opened my doors, did anything I ever asked him to do, but did way more than I ever asked him to do. And always looked for a moment to serve Barbara and I. Always looked for some way. In all these years, you've been trying to pay us back. You've been trying to pay us back. Well, this helps. It's paid in full. It's paid in full. And now, not out of because they've been so good to me, but out of your being will you do it from now on. Not because I've got to pay somebody back for something, but because it's the joy of the servanthood of giving. It's the joy of it. It's the joy of it. And I've wondered about you at times. But I'm so glad to see how you listen to God. How you hear God. The future's bright. I was going to read the qualifications of a deacon, but it said the husband of one wife, and I can't do that to Ron. All right. Moving on. Oh, salt of the earth. I believe it with all my heart. Love you, love you, love you. I am so glad when you walked through these doors years ago, you walked through these doors. I am so glad. I don't know how exactly you got here, but I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you got here. There's not anybody I'd rather be in a boat with than you fishing. There's nobody I'd rather spend time with in the water than you. I just love you, love you, love you, love you. And the best is still yet to come. You have no idea of the light that just shines forth from you. It's unbelievable, and it's unimaginable, and it's going to get more and more and more. And the satisfaction, oh, you thought you've been satisfied, and you have, but it's going to be so much more satisfying. So much satisfaction. That's the word for you. Satisfaction. Amen. Oh, what can I say? Told the joke just for you today, Ricky. I did. I thought I started to say, Rick, I'm going to tell the joke just for you on Deacon Day. Because he tells us so many jokes. He's a jokester, always telling jokes, and making us laugh. And it's part of your servanthood. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't ever take for granted making someone laugh. Ever take for granted lifting someone's spirit. Don't ever take for granted seeing their spirit light up. you do that. When I met you at Aunt Kate's house, Mama's sister was dying, and the first time I'd met you, you'd been married to my cousin for, at that time, what, 10 years or so? And why she never introduced me, I don't know. Never knew you, but when I met you, oh, I was so thrilled. And I decided then, on friend day in a couple of weeks, family day, I was going to call you, and you was on the golf course, and I called you, and I said, would you come to family friend day this Sunday? And you've been coming ever since. What can I say? I've never seen a more servant. I've never seen a bigger giver of your being to other people. And although you're doing is doing and doing and doing, it's not out of your doing, it's your being that matters. And your doing just comes out of who you are. And I am so thrilled. We tease a lot and we cut up a lot, but we love each other a lot. And I am so thrilled that you're here. I can't tell you how glad I am that you said yes and you've been coming ever since. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ricky. Thank you. Thank you for serving this country all of those years. Thank you for doing that. And I know that's, man, it's so in you. And just like you served this country for all those years, your greatest satisfaction is going to be in your service to God. The satisfaction, that's a real fulfilling, satisfied feeling you're going to have. Keith, you join me? I asked Keith, I normally pray the prayer over you and ordain you, but I just felt Keith to do that this morning. This is a servant of God that's been in this house for a long, long, long time. He has served me in so many ways. I can't tell you all the things he's done. He still comes up to me every now and then. He says, you hadn't asked me to do anything at your house in a long time. He says, I need to do something. I need my deck sanded. Yeah, just kidding. I'll thank y'all for accepting this and listen to this prayer, because I assure you it's going to be a powerful prayer of ordination over every one of you.
This is going to be a little bit different. I want you to turn around, face the congregation. If you know one or all of these people, or they've touched your life in some way serving this house, I want you, if you feel comfortable, just to extend your hand to let your spirit just project. Let your prayer just come to these people today. Amen. As we ordain them. Keep your eyes open, guys and ladies.
Amen.
In every house, there are vessels of gold and silver, vessels of honor. These, ladies and gentlemen, are vessels of honor.
Yes.
Today, we're sanctifying them. We're setting them apart. We're recognizing them for the special gift that they have in Eagles Way Church. They're the second milers. They're easily compelled to do the job that they're called to do.
Yes.
They don't only do it well, but they go the second mile. I just pray that today, as we honor these men and women in this house, we hang a towel over their arms, symbolizing servanthood. That, Lord, every effort, every thought, every deed that they do in this house,
yes,
will just be appreciated. Amen. More and more. There's nothing we can ever do,
right,
to honor them any more than saying,
right,
thank you, thank you, thank you. So I bless these today.
Amen.
I stand here with this congregation saying, we just pronounce a blessing over you, body, soul, and spirit. Just pray that your gift will just multiply,
amen,
be expanded. I pray that God's blessings will just overtake you with health, prosperity,
yes,
and wisdom, and strength. Whatever is needed by these men and women to serve in this house, Lord, we ask that you just pour it out upon them abundantly. So today we set you apart. We honor you as deacons in the house of Eagles Way Church.
Yes.
A place of honor. Thank you for being vessels of honor in this house. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Y'all turn around and face me. Will, you can be coming. And Jerry, thank you. God bless you for. Oh. God bless you. Love you. Yeah, go ahead.
He said to come. I didn't know exactly what he wanted me to go ahead and do.
Thank you.
Hopefully you got your connection card that was inside of your bulletin.
Thank you.
That is the way that we need for you to communicate with us. Many of you just call us, and that's great too. But when there's a prayer request, if there's a praise report, we want to know about that. Every Wednesday for the last 8 weeks, we've been testifying here. We'll be here Wednesday night. Come and testify with us. Share of the goodness of what Jesus has done in your life, what he's doing, speaking forth what he's going to do. The ushers can be preparing to receive our morning tithes and offerings, and many of you do it many ways. There's a box at the door that you drop it. Some of you are doing it online or using the app, Eagles Way app. Those of you that didn't know there's an Eagles Way app, go to your Google Store or go to Apple Play and download Eagles Way app. Lots of important, useful things that are there. Thank you for your faithfulness. What Pastor said about bringing to the house when you come, you do. He also mentioned Family Friend Day. We have one scheduled May 19th. Put it on your calendar. We'll begin getting you a lot more information about it. It's actually going to be at Mystic Acres venue. They have an amphitheater sitting on the lake. Service by the lake. You can't beat that. We'll have our cookout right after that. A little bit different. I say a cookout is going to be a taco bar. Somebody's got to cook it, right? Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, Lord, for these tithes, these offerings, these alms, for the faithfulness of the stewardship of people that bring, Father, Lord, to your house so that people in this community can be touched, so people across the world can be touched, so we can share your love. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Everyone can stand. If the band wants to come, we will be dismissed with our worship.
Thunder with a new future to tell, for the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. skies heavy with blessing. Lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive. With great anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. But let it be done. Have a great week.